Deuteronomy 23, look at verses 19 and 20. You must not lend on interest to your brother. Verse 20, to a foreigner you may lend on interest, but to your brother you shall not lend on interest. Very clear, is it not? Now, when Jesus told his parable about the man who had his one talent that he went and buried in the earth, and he comes to the Lord on the last day and says, well, here you are, you can have it back. Jesus says, why didn't you lend my money out on usury? Why didn't you put this in the bank, which would have really meant not going to a bank as we know, but going to the tables, literally, where money was effectively lent out to other people. Why didn't you do this? At least you should have done something. Now, you can read it in two ways. You can read it, therefore, as if he's saying, well, you should have lent this to the Gentiles. You should have taken what I've given you to the Gentiles whom you despised. And because you wouldn't do that, you'd rather do nothing than give the gospel, give what I've given to you to those whom you consider a bit beneath you, and even you consider them beneath me. Well, because of that, you're going to be condemned. Or you can read it another way, that the Lord is saying, look, I know that the law of Moses says you're not supposed to lend your money out to your brother for interest. But look, even if you'd done that, even if you had broken the law in that sense, but you'd done at least something, I would have accepted you. Either way, and I think that some of the Lord's level of intellect and his absolute fluency with God's word may well have intended us to take this either way. He may have intentionally left it like this so that it would sort of tease our reflections that we're coming out with right now, that he's saying you could have at least done something, even if it was far from ideal. You could have at least got me something for this. And so you see how the rejection process is not simply going to be the Lord saying, nah, sorry you didn't make it, you know, go over there, left-hand side job, right, next one. He actually reasons and says, look, do you realize you could have done this and you should have done that, and this is what would have happened if you had done that. We're told that the rejected will experience weeping and gnashing of teeth. And yeah, I can see that. If the Lord just with sadness in his eyes says, well, sorry, you see, you should have done this or you should have done that, then, yeah, and then, you know, so over there to the left-hand side, yeah, no torture, no eternal flame, you know, on your toes or whatever. No, the self-torture of knowing that I could have done this, I should have done that, how foolish I am. Was, am, that is the banging of teeth. So I think that the Lord built this into his parable intentionally so that we would compare it with Deuteronomy 23 and scratch our heads and think, well, does he mean you should have, you know, just lent on usury anyway to your brother, and well, you shouldn't have done it. Of course, the Jews did do it, although they weren't supposed to do it. It sure wouldn't have been ideal, but you should have done at least something, at least tried, at least made done anything proactive with what I've given you. Or he could have meant, well, you should have given this to the Gentiles. You should have traded with the Gentiles. That's what you should have done. Give the gospel to those who you consider beneath it or not good enough for it. Yeah, that's what you should have done. In those days, to lend out your money for a percentage was actually risky. It's not like it is today where you put your money in the bank and you kind of assume the bank's likely to hold up and, you don't have to do anything and you will get some money at the end of it. This guy was involved, well, is being told, you should have, you know, at least given my money to the bankers, literally put it on the tables. These people operated with tables with the money on it. You should have at least taken the risk. Now, it was a risk. And, of course, the guy's point is, well, it's your money, Lord. I wouldn't wish to risk it. Therefore I did nothing with it. And Jesus is saying, no, you should have risked it. You should have taken the risk. And that is better than doing nothing. Well, the word that the one talent man uses when he says, "I have kept it," is significant. He hands the talent back and says, "I kept it in the earth, wrapped up in this cloth which should have been used for mopping the sweat off his face. I kept it, and here you are, you can have it back." And it's the same word for keep that is used repeatedly in the New Testament, the later New Testament, about keeping the faith. And there's a lot of talk about that. The idea is, look, son, you're baptized, here's a statement of faith, keep this understanding pure, don't go off listening to anybody else, just keep believing the same stuff that I'm giving you here in the statement of faith till the end of your days, you come to your grave planks and, well, I reckon you've got a good chance of getting saved. Just keep it, don't lose it. Huge emphasis upon intellectual purity, maintaining the purity of understanding that's been given. And I'm not saying, of course, that you should go off to false teaching or just kick over the traces of what you were given by a good church, by good teaching, just for the sake of it. No, of course not. We've got to be faithful to the scriptures. And if we were so blessed to have been given truth by those who taught us the gospel and baptized us when we were first starting our Christian path, well, praise God. A lot of people didn't get that, but we did. So, don't kick over the traces just for the sake of it. But the mentality that we hold on to this, keep this, you'll be good. That's all you got to do. This is very much the stuff of denominationalism, that this is what we stand for as a denomination. Hold on to it, son. Just keep hold of it to the end, the bitter end, if necessary. Even if you're the only person on the planet who's believing these truths, well, son, keep on believing them. Which, again, is true in a sense. But the danger is that the keeping, as in the intellectual preservation of these truths, can come to be seen as the be-all and end-all. And that is, in fact, the mentality of the one-talent man. And Jesus in his parables brilliantly, in my opinion, saw through to the tendency of many of his servants in our age to have that mentality. And he's saying, no, what's the good of that to me? I come back and you say, yes, I maintained the intellectual purity of understanding of all this theology, and I, as it were, give it back to you. What's the point in that? What did you do with it? And there is a risk. This is the whole image that he uses, that any business venture is a risk. There is no guaranteed return, especially in a first century context. He's saying, well, you could have at least put it on the tables of the bankers. You could have at least risked and done something. And of course, that's what I would say. Go out into all the world and preach and tell people, this is the gospel, believe it, be baptized, let me baptize you. And people say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You could bring the truth into disrepute. Or do they really understand? Are they really properly motivated? Sure, it's all a risk. But the point is, do something. Do something. And certainly don't pull down and criticize anyone else who does their something. You yourself, do something. What are you doing with this huge talent that you've been given? Are you going to be proactive with it? Or are you going to say, well, this is what I've got and I'm just going to keep on believing it? Well, where's the fruit of it? Where is the actual accrual, as it were, of interest, of progress for the Lord's work? This is the question. The point is, do something. That's the takeaway from the parable, rooted as it is in this legislation here about if you lend to your brother, it mustn't be on interest, but you can lend to a Gentile. Well, do something. Risk something. Do something. Do something actual and proactive with that which you have been given. That's the takeaway.